This song has been running through my mind for the last several weeks. Seems like every time I pray, every time I read my Bible, every time I am thinking about this world, it's become such a wilderness. You come, no matter where you go into places, stores, and even in our places of employment, it just seems like the world's ideals, the culture, the things that are around us are just creeping in. And this song really says what's in my heart. I'm ready for deliverance. I've never been this homesick before. I am so homesick to be with my Jesus. I was thinking about, have you ever felt homesick? Am I the only one maybe that feels homesick? When I was a child, after my mom passed away, my dad sent me to summer camp. And I missed my dad so much. I was so homesick. But I remember the first day that a letter came from him, and I read that letter. I held on to that letter. And then another letter and another letter. And those letters just helped me to feel closer to my dad. And then as I got older, I went into the military and was overseas, and those letters again from my dad just reminded me how much he loved me. And you know, Jesus has done the same thing. He's given us his love letters, his word. When I feel homesick, I pull out my word. I look through the epistles. I look to the letters because, church, they're written to us. They are not extinct. They are not out of date. These letters are written to the same kind of churches that we go to. They're written to us from Jesus. And some of you, forgive me, the Lord gave me this message about a year and a half ago. You've heard it. Very few, but you did hear it. And if you would just bear with me as I share it, I'd like to just pray. Lord, I pray right now. I plead the blood of Jesus. I pray, God, that you would anoint me as I speak your word, what you placed upon my heart. Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, to be acceptable in your sight. Lord, let it not to be my word that I speak, but God, let me to speak your word. Let me to speak it with clarity. Let me to speak it without confusion. Let me to speak it with peace, God. And Lord, you have not given us a spirit of fear. So right now, in the name of Jesus, fear, you have to leave. I'm not going to be afraid. God has given me a sound mind. He's given me power. And most of all, he's given me his love. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, God. August 13th, 1961. Anybody remember that day? I was two. I was thinking maybe I was outside playing. It was August. I really don't know what I was doing because I don't remember that day. But August 13th, 1961 changed the world. More specifically, it changed a nation. On August 13th, 1961, overnight, a wall went up in East Berlin. It separated mothers from children. It separated aunts and uncles and cousins and friends and family. That wall was put up to keep the people in. Airlifts were created within 24 hours, dropping medical supplies and clothing and food to the people that were so war-torn and broken down because it was during a war. Well, after the war, but it had never been rebuilt. And during this time, these runs that went in to East Berlin to drop off to these people, there were communities that for many, many, many years did not see their loved ones. I cannot even imagine having a wall within 10 miles of my home that would separate me from my children. I cannot even in my mind imagine such a wall. Now, this is a physical wall, but many of us have spiritual walls. Spiritual walls that we put up that we block. And if you bear with me, I'm going to be a little transparent with you tonight because I really don't know any other way to be. Because I'm most comfortable when I'm myself, because if I try to be somebody else, I get all nervous and scared. And you know, I didn't listen to my husband this morning. He told me I had the message. I had the thought. Pastor Roy, when he said to me, do you have a message? This was about a month ago. And I said, it was out of the clear blue. We were talking about something unrelated. And I said, yes. And he told me when he wanted me to share it. But my husband this morning, before he left, I took the day, didn't do anything. I wanted to just meditate on the word and pray. And he said before he left, now, don't be watching any preaching. Just keep your mind clear. Stay focused on what you're doing. I like to, usually on Wednesdays, I like to listen to preaching and read books and do different things. But then my mind got so full of everything else. And I had to repent, and I had to say, God, I'm sorry, I should have listened to him. He was right. He said it nicely, and I should have. And just because every time I feel like I'm up here, I really want to just share, you know, I'm thankful for our authority. There's protection in it. And Brother Putnam said something to all of us ladies at Ladies Retreat, that at first when he said it, I was like, what does he mean? Well, I don't see that. Why did he say that? And what he had said was that when we are feeling insecure, it's because we are not in submission to our authority. And I was like, well, sometimes, God, I do feel insecure. I do. But I'm in submission. I'm in submission to my leadership. I'm in submission to my husband. But as I pondered that, that didn't go away. It went home with me. And I thought about it. And I began to think of myself, and I began to understand what he was saying. Because he brought it all to heart when I went into Pastor Roy's office and we were talking. And after we talked, and then he had said, ask me to speak tonight. And right away I said, oh no, that's okay. We want to hear you. Okay, I'll do it. And I realized something at that moment, that many times when we're asked to do something, we need to just do it. Not ponder it, not worry about it. If it's the will of God, it's our pastoral leadership. If it's God's given authority, we just do it. We just do it. Now, I'm not saying that if they tell you something wrong, and I haven't had a pastor that's told me anything wrong. If anything, he leads me to the Word of God, and he tells me to search it out for myself. He tells me to bring my Bible to church so I can follow along with him. So when he's reading the scripture, I can read it. I don't know how I got on that, but I'm going to go back to August 13th, 1961. Sorry. August 13th, 1961. When Kevin was in the military both times, I think it was the first time he was there, they had to do border patrol along that wall. It was Checkpoint Charlie. And they walked up and down the walls. That's all they did. They were armed with their weapons, and they walked up and down the wall. And what they were doing on the other side were the East German. There were the towers, the barbed wire. There was the wall that was there. And when we were in Germany the second time, I met a friend named Uta. Her husband was in the military. And one day, Uta and I went to her grandmother's house. It was in another area. And we went to visit her. And while we were sitting in her kitchen, I was looking out the window, and it was all this open field, and it was really pretty. And her grandmother began to share. And you could see from the window, out in the distance, the towers and the wall. And she began to share how that wall separated her from her family. And my heart, I was like, wow. You know, that, you know, we read about it in history and I hear about it, but to have come face to face with somebody who was dealing with the trauma of that wall was like, wow, how heartbreaking. And so, anyway, I pondered that in my heart and thought about it for quite a while. And then I had a friend, and this will all tie in together. I had a friend named Barb. She was Jessica's first grade teacher, and she was planning to go to Berlin for the first time. And she asked me to watch her son, and I did. And she asked me if there was anything that I wanted. And I'd always wanted, I'd seen other ladies in our churches, they had these beautiful tea sets. And I said, well, I'd really like a tea set from East Germany. And she said, sure, what kind do you want? I said, oh, my dining room is pink and mauve, and I would like one that's white with a pink flower and gold trim. I was very specific. I could even almost see it in my mind. And she said, okay, I'll bring one back. So she went and was gone for several days. And when she came home, she sat down on the couch with a box. And she said, Linda, I have to talk to you. I said, okay. And she said, before you open this box, let me explain. And I said, okay. And I'm like, what happened? And she said that she went into shop after shop after shop looking for not a white tea set with gold trim and a pink flower, but any tea set. There were none. She said, Linda, when I walked in the store, there's nothing on the shelves. Everything is behind a glass window. To get what you want, you have to go up to the glass window, and you don't even have a selection. Everything is neutral. They don't come in sets and pairs. They're not like we have here in the United States that we can coordinate our patterns and our colors and all the things that we like to do as women. And when she told me that, I thought, oh, wow. Felt a little convicted. And she said, open the box. And I opened the box. And in the box was this tea set. She had given up looking for the tea set. And on the very last day she was there, she went into just one more shop. There was one tea set, and this was it. All I could do was cry. I cried. I felt like a spoiled brat. I felt so selfish. And every time after that, when we had our friends over, whenever I used the tea set, we prayed. For those East German people. We prayed that that wall would come down. I know I wasn't the only one praying. Many of us were praying. But I had put it in my heart that I was going to pray every time for those people that I use this tea set. I didn't know what else to do. And you know, we always say things like, well, at least you can do is pray. You know what? I've learned it's the most powerful thing that you can do is to pray. And I am not saying anymore, at least I can pray. It's not at least. It's the most powerful thing and the first thing that we should do. And God blessed us that while we were there, he didn't have to do this. But November 9th, 1989, I was sitting in a hospital room with my daughter, Rebecca. She broke her arm. It was in a German hospital. And I was sitting in the room with her. And my husband comes running in and he said, did you hear? And I was like, hear what? He goes, the news. And I said, what news? He said, come here. And he took me out into the waiting room. And there was all these German TVs and all the Germans are crying and weeping. And I'm looking around. I'm like, I can't understand anything they're saying. What's going on? And he said, the wall, it came down. It opened. This was November 1989. We came back January of 1990. I was so moved in my spirit. God had put that in, not just for that day while we were in Germany, but to this very day, I still remember the prayers that I prayed and that wall that came down. And this tea set sits in my china cabinet as a reminder of what God did. Did you know that that wall opened up because a man made a mistake? I was reading that's nothing against men. I didn't mean it that way. there was a meeting, and one of the German men don't make mistakes. But there was the German, I don't know if it was a chancellor or what he was called, but there's a documentary. And the walls came down because this man was in this meeting and he had some scribbled notes that he wrote on there. And there was a part on there that he wasn't supposed to say. He wasn't supposed to let anybody know yet because nothing had been set in place. But he had released the news that the wall was open. But see, the wall wasn't really going to be open. It was more for political things, and there'd be visas and checks, and it still wasn't going to be easy to get out. But see, the news hit the United States and every other country within seconds. The news was out. It could not be reversed. People were flocking to the wall. As soon as this went out, people, the video, the coverage, Jessica and John were trying to get this coverage for me to show you because it's so amazing. These people were flooding the gates, and it was because somebody spoke too quickly. The slip of a tongue is how they put it. And that gate was open, and people flocked. And, you know, God changed that whole process within seconds. Within seconds, because it was done. It was done. Luke chapter 4, 18 through 21. Pastor Roy had shared this with us. This is the theme for this month. Miracles, signs, and wonders. What is in thy hand? What is in your hand? What is in my hand? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Deliverance. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again. This is Jesus speaking. And he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them were in the synagogue, were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. This was why Jesus came. This is his whole message to deliver. Deliverance means the action of being rescued, a formal or authoritative utterance. We have the power of deliverance within us, not by our hands, but by the word of God, the blood of Jesus. It's been applied. We just don't use it. This is a very difficult message for this part. I had preached it or taught it just a little bit different when I did this. But tonight, I really feel that God wants to talk to us about deliverance. Deliverance, when Jesus sets the captive free, he has placed his anointing upon the church. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Isaiah 10 and 27. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. God has not chosen us because we are gifted or talented, or because we can do great things. To be perfectly honest, the people that knew Kevin and I before we moved to Germany, when they heard that I was teaching and more, speaking more, they were kind of surprised because I used to be so quiet. Can you believe that? God put something in my heart. He put a burden in my heart. He put a passion in my heart. He put a love in my heart for his word, for prayer, for people. He put it in my heart. How can I be quiet? How can I be quiet? I heard a message here recently about don't be silent. Don't be silent. When the darkness comes, speak up. Plead the blood of Jesus. Take the word of God. Don't be silent. Too many times we see the enemy creeping up and we want to retreat. That's the time that we need to go forward and not retreat, because we have the power in us. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. God wants us to understand that we can't fight this through our abilities. We can't fight this through our talents. We can't fight this because we can speak or pray or any other reason. The only way that this happens inside of us, God has chosen the foolish, the unlearned, the despised. They are the all-nots, the weak. That's what 1 Corinthians 1:26 through 29 tells us. God has chosen the foolish things of this world. Isaiah 58, 6 and 1. Sorry, I think I gave her 1 Corinthians 1:26 through 29 first. Sorry. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shall thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth the finger, and speaking vanity. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness shall be as noonday. It's midnight in Madison. It is midnight in Madison. It's as dark, as dark, as dark as we have ever known it to be. And it's happening quickly. But the light, this is the time that that light has got to shine and come forth. It is that light. Brother Hopp did a wonderful job explaining the true light, the one true light. We've got to have it. It's got to be in us. Isaiah 61, 1 through 5. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. This sounds familiar. Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. That was prophetic for what Jesus spoke in Luke chapter 4. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all that mourn. And they shall build the old wastes, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. When we were in prayer meeting several months ago, we had a really awesome prayer meeting, felt victory. The ladies had gotten together, and we had prayed, It was several months ago, and there was about a dozen of us here. And as we were praying for our families, and we got done praying, somebody had mentioned to please pray for their schools, because they were sharing some of the things that the children were going through. And one of the children specifically was an 8-year-old. And my heart sunk. I didn't feel victory. I felt almost defeated. But then all of a sudden, the Lord quickened me and said, you have the hope. You have what they need to hear. And my spirit lifted because I realized greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. The enemy wants us to think that we are on the other side, but we are not. The darkness is all around us, but his light will set the captive free. We just have to speak it and not be silent. Have any of you ever heard, there's a video years ago that came out, it's called the Silent Scream. We had to watch it at CareNet. Thank goodness we didn't have to go into, well, yes, we did, because I never saw this until I was there. And the reason they had us to watch it is because they wanted us to be familiar when we talked to women about it. The Silent Scream was done by a doctor. And it was an abortion that was taking place inside of a woman. It was heartbreaking. And you could see the baby screaming. My heart. It was not pleasant. Just as when I heard in Germany families that were separated, it wasn't pleasant. It broke my heart. And when I see children and families and lives being destroyed by sin every day, people are being swallowed up. Every day, they're being bound more and more and more. And I don't know about you, but my family is not immune. My family is attacked. My family, the enemy would like to destroy my family. He would like to destroy my children. But you know what? He's not getting them. Because I will do what the word says to do. I will stand in the gap. I will seek the Lord. I will take his word and I will apply it. I will not back off. I will do everything I can do. I know they have a choice, but if I can help it, I will stand in the gap and I will fight for my children, because if I don't, no one else will. Let's go back to Ephesians 5 and 14. Wherefore, he saith, awake, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. We have to wake up. You know, the greatest miracle, and this month we're talking about miracles, signs, and wonders, and God is still in the miracle working business. But the greatest miracle is a life that was bound by sin, a life that was bound by heartbreak and brokenness, and the yoke was heavy. And when that soul is delivered and transformed, and they don't think the way they used to think, and their minds are like totally different, I'm sure many of you have seen that. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen God come in and transform my thinking and my mind. I did not grow up a churched person. There were 4 years of my life that if I could live them again, I'd live them all differently. But I can't. But what I have to do is realize that God's covered it with his blood. I'm under the blood. His word is in my heart. It is his word. He has not given us a spirit of condemnation, but he has given us his love. Every one of us sitting in here, we all have things in our lives that we go through. But you know, sometimes we're afraid to share them. We think we're the only ones that are going through it. But the most important thing that we can do is to be honest with God and to pray about it. Because if we hide it, it's never going to get better. Health is never going to come. We're never going to be whole. We're going to be broken. Awake. Awake. Ephesians 5:14. Wherefore he saith, oh, is that the one you just read? I'm sorry. Awake, thou sleepest, and arise from the dead. If we were not living for God, we were dead. That's a miracle. That's a resurrection. That's a dead person coming back to life. Isaiah 26:19. The dead men shall live together with my dead. Body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust. For the dew is as the dew of the herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. God wants to resurrect us. He wants to give life. He wants us to awake in our spirit. He wants us to awaken in the morning with a song in our heart and a longing to be with our Savior. This is what this is all about. In my mind, I am yearning. I am hungry. This is not coming because I'm speaking tonight. This is what God's doing in my heart. My heart is being changed. I am at a point in my life, and though I care what my husband says and I care what my pastor or my leadership says, I have to tell you the truth. I'm getting to a point. I'm going to be 55 tomorrow. I really don't care anymore. It doesn't matter. I've got to take what the Word of God has said, and I got to live by it. I got to do it, and I got to do what He's called me to do. I have to do it. But I'm in subjection to those that are over me. Colossians 2:13-15. And it's not all gloom and doom. I know it sounds like it, because when we're in that pit, when we're in depression, when we're in anxiety, when we're in these states, it is not fun. When we are bound by addictions, when we are bound by the things that bind us in this world, and without going into a lot of detail, there's a lot of things that can have us bound. But God came to set us free. And you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. The good news is, whatever you came in with, you don't have to leave with. Whatever's going on in your life, your family, your situation, it's up to you if you walk out those doors and you take it with you. But there are people that will pray with you, and there is a God that will deliver you. And I plead the blood of Jesus. And if you leave here without that, that's your choice. But I'm here to tell you that He wants to blot out the handwriting, the ordinances that was against us, that was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. There's no more atonement. It's done. He nailed it to the cross. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them, that we can go into a secret place. But he did it out in the open. He took my sins and he bore them on his back. He took my deeds that you never will know about and he bore them on his back openly. But I have the privilege to go to my prayer closet in secret and he will reward me openly. He will show me his glory. What more can he do? There's no more. That's it. He did it all. God wants us to have victory. He does not want us to live a defeated life. That was not the whole intention of this. Victory, victory. You really can have victory. If you've struggled year after year with condemnation, with guilt, with shame, with unforgiveness, if you've struggled with addictions, if you've struggled with fornication, if you've struggled with whatever it is, you can be delivered. It's for you tonight. Don't wait. This is the best years of my life. I love living for Jesus. I wouldn't do anything different. And you know, when I was a young Christian, Brother Tuttle said, what if somebody had a man asked him, he said, what if somebody asked, what if you lived this whole Bible and you lived it and you followed it and you found out it wasn't real? He said, well, there's no better way. You just said it. There's no better way. Everything in this book, it works. I wouldn't change a thing. Thank God, because we're not allowed to. But I wouldn't, because it works. I have applied, I've studied, I've taken the word of God, and I can tell you with my whole heart, it's never failed me yet. It's never failed me yet. And you know what? The greatest thing, and I was listening to this today, and this is one thing I did take away from listening to some of those other preachers. Don't just pray for God to restore what the enemy has taken, but pray that he restores it sevenfold. Sevenfold. Don't just be content getting your stuff back. Get it back sevenfold. That's God's plan. That's his will. Romans 6, 1 through 7. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. I've heard it preached that when we die at the altar every day, we go to the altar. But I've heard it preached, I think it was Brother Hernandez. He said, you know what? You know when you're dead? You know when the flesh is dead? When somebody throws an offense at you and it doesn't hurt. That's when you know you're dead. I was like, wow, there's times I'm not dead. I know that. But I have to keep going back to the altar. From the altar to the promise. That's what our life is really all about. The altar to the promise. And everything in between. It's a process. Psalm 102, 17 through 21. He will regard the prayer of the destitute. Have you ever felt destitute? I think that's when we feel like, wow, there's no hope for me. This is never going to end. Is this ever going to go away? How much longer? How long will I be weary of this? He said he will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despair their prayer. God has his hand upon the destitute. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. This is what we pass down from generation to generation, what we pass down to our children, our grandchildren. We pass down to them not a tradition, not a religion. We pass down to them an inheritance of eternal life. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth. To hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. We're on the other side. Those of us that have been blood-bought, baptized in Jesus' name, Holy Ghost-filled, we're on the other side. It's time for praising in Zion. It's time to come before his courts and into his gates with thanksgiving and praise. It's time to rise up. No longer are we bound by sin. No longer. It's done. It's done. Psalm 103, 3 through 5. who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Wow, when you get to be our age and older, to be renewed like the youth, our hearts, our spirits. And I know Brother Grant, but he may be in his body sometimes physically. He may have to sit down, but inside he still feels like a 20-year-old man. His heart, his mind, his spirit, his passion, what he loves in life, he's still a young man in his spirit. God blesses us with health. 2 Corinthians 10:5. So how do we do this? How do we do it? How do we do it? For though we walk in the flesh, and I think we all are in our flesh, I came in my flesh, we all have it. We don't war after the flesh. The war isn't with our flesh. We're not fighting each other. And one good thing I heard too out of all the preaching I listened to was, you know, don't go against your leadership or your pastor. They got enough devils chasing them. They don't need us doing it too. We need to support them, pray for them, uphold them, come beside them like Aaron and Hur. Hold their arms up. When things are going tough, get behind them. Pray for them. That's the most powerful thing you can do. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Wow. You mean I can help my mind, my imaginations, my thinking? It's what the scripture says. How do I do that? As a young Christian being raised in a non-Christian home, I remember when I first got in the church, you know, my parents, they swore. And sometimes there would be words that I would say. And in the military, they swore. And you kind of sometimes you pick up those words. And as a young Christian, those I wouldn't say them, but they'd come to my mind. And I was like, this would really trouble me. And it would bother me. Like, when's this going to go away? And our pastor said, think about what you're watching. Think about what you're reading. Think about what's in your home. Think about what you're feeding your mind. Because you see, when we're out there in the world, we're attacked by so many things. There's so many things that are out there. As soon as you walk out your door, we don't need it in our homes. We need a family altar. We need an altar in our homes that's the center of our homes, not the other stuff that we're allowing to fill our minds, to fill our children. What are we thinking? And I guess in my mind, he was right. He was so right, because the things that I was feeding my mind are the things that stayed in my mind. And sometimes it only took a second that it flashed in my mind. This is what God has given us so that we can combat these things. This is his word, bringing our thoughts into subjection to obedience to Christ's word. His word will tell us everything we need to know to deal with everything we're dealing with. We just have to read it and know it. Ephesians 6:12-8, the battle plan. How do we fight? For we wrestle not, it's midnight in Madison. I'm ready for deliverance. I am ready. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And I want to stop here just for a minute. Sometimes our faith isn't enough. We need help with our faith. We need one another. We need God's faith. We need the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we rely upon our own thinking, our own faith, our own emotions, we're probably going to get ourselves in trouble. I do. But when I rely upon the word of God, sometimes I just have to study to be quiet. Because sometimes my instinct is you want to go to bat at the person that hurt you. But really, it's a spiritual warfare. And we need to go to the source. We have to understand that the battle is fought on our knees and not face to face and not with each other. So we have to take on the faith and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. We need to persevere. The Bible says that we are to pray without ceasing. The fervent, effectual prayers of a righteous man availeth much. It's not our righteousness, it's the blood of Jesus. And I am not speaking all this without experience, without going through my own struggles, my own situations. Just before we started Daughters of Zion, it was about 5 years ago, we had gone through a really difficult year. Kevin's mother became ill. We found out that she was going to die. She died, but she died saved. She died with the Holy Ghost. She died baptized in Jesus' name. We rejoiced. Then we went through a trial with one of our children. I'd never been through that trial. It was a rough trial. I didn't know how to handle the trial. And I remember coming to church. It was as simple as this. And Sister Grant was in the kitchen. And I leaned over. And I told her. And I wept. And she said, "You got to pull yourself together. They need you now." That's all she had to say. And I got on my knees and I went on a fast and I began to pray. And I don't remember who preached the message, but he was preaching about Peter being in prison and how they were at a prayer meeting and they were praying for Peter to be released. But then when Peter was released, they didn't believe it. It's like, well, why were you praying it? But they were praying for Peter to be released. And then Peter shows up at the door and they were so shocked. And that night, I remember thinking there was a person who was very involved in our lives, and I was thinking if they would just come here. But they're so far away. But if they would just come here, they could help us to sort this through. And you are not going to believe this because I didn't, but I got out to my car after church service. I picked up my phone, and there was a missed, no, the phone rang. No, the phone, there was a missed call, but I didn't know who it was. And I called the number, and they answered the phone. And I said, "Who is this?" And then they told me. I said, "Are you kidding? Are you my?" And I told them. And the only reason I'm not saying that is I didn't want to go into a lot of details. But at any rate, this person was in Madison. And that night, the battle was won. It was done. It was over. Did it take a spiritual confrontation? You betcha. It was not fun. It was really hard. Thank the Lord. I had my husband. We had, our son was with us, and we had this other person. And when we had to deal with the situation, the enemy had to leave because he wasn't getting my child. It was done. It was finished. I was going to fight for her. And sometimes about the time that we're ready to give up is the time that the enemy is getting ready to retreat, because he's taking out his best. He's taking out everything he's got. And if he can weary the saints, if he can get us tired, if he can get us distracted, if he can put us on a different path, he's already won the battle. But God said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I will not be silenced by darkness. Instead, and I shared this with you already, instead of saying the only thing I can do is pray, start saying the most powerful thing I can do is pray. When you go into that prayer closet, expect to meet the Lord. Expect to go in there and to stay. Go in there knowing that this is the will of God, and he rewards those that diligently seek him. If you have children, and no, actually, I retract that. If you're a human being and you have a home, this is for you. Whether you're married, whether you're single, whether you have children, whether you don't, you need a family altar. You need a family altar. Sunday and Wednesday is not going to get our children saved. It's going to take prayer. It's going to take fasting. It's going to take the word of God. Because this battle, this is how it's fought. And we have to have a family altar, a place to gather our families together, a place to protect them, a place that when they go out there and they come home and they've been wounded, they can recover. Our homes need to be a recovery room. They need to be a place to bring our children back into and to get them back on the right track. But not only them, we need it. We need it. I've come home wearied. I've come home tired. I've had a rough day at work. And when I come home, I need peace. I need my home to be peace. I have to have peace because it's where we replenish ourselves. Oftentimes, we stop right at the moment, like right now, that we have heard it, and I leave. But then I don't put the plan into action. I've done that. I've been moved. I've been stirred, but I've not been changed. And tonight, I would encourage you, please, if there are should-haves, could-haves, would-haves, we all have them. I have many in my life, but I can't go back to the should-have, could-have, would-haves. All I'm guaranteed is right now, right here. This is what I have. And tonight, if the musicians would please come. And tonight, if there's something that the enemy has taken from you, something that he's held you hostage. And really, that's what he does. He holds us hostage. The battle isn't in our physical. He's not physically holding us hostage. He's holding us hostage in our mind. If there is something that has affected your relationship with God, tonight's the night to give it to him. If you're struggling with an illness, tonight's the night. Come to him. Bring it to him. If you need the Holy Ghost, it's for you. He said that he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. He's already done it. He's poured out his spirit. He said that it's for us. That power, God wants us to have it. The question to me, to you tonight, as everybody stands, it's midnight in Madison. It's dark. It's dark. Are you ready to make a change? Are you ready for deliverance? Are you ready? Are you sick of this world? This world is a wilderness. I'm ready. I'm ready for deliverance. I want deliverance. In my home, for my children, for my family, for my world. Deliverance.